Hi, Dave Emery here. This is side two of For the Record program number 772, titled Body Count Part 2, subtitled Collateralized Death Obligations. This is being recorded on February 9th of the year 2014. In side one, we have been looking at some suspicious, quote, suicides, unquote, of financial executives who are linked to institutions that are either the focal point of or perhaps being used as consultants to some very important ongoing legal investigations. Primary among those have been Deutsche Bank and J.P. Morgan Chase, both of which are under investigation for manipulating the very lucrative, $5 trillion a day foreign exchange markets. And we're going to take a look later in this side of a highly suspicious fire in Argentina after the beset Argentine government made a pronouncement about the foreign exchange holdings of Argentine banks. We also noted in side one that a Wall Street Journal reporter vanished under very strange circumstances. Perhaps the most disturbing aspect of this whole situation is the uncritical attitude that the media and apparently also many investigators are taking toward these deaths. Some of these investigations are occurring in the wake of the global financial crisis, and I would note that EU bank regulators are trying to shore up relatively weak financial institutions in Europe. Deutsche Bank is one of the largest of the European banks. People are not asking the questions they should be asking. In the global financial crisis, one of the hallucinatory financial instruments that led to the collapse was called, one of those was called the Collateralized Debt Obligation, DEBT. What we're asking here is, are these bodies that are piling up, are we looking at collateralized death obligations, DEATH? One of the most disturbing of these deaths, once again being told that we are looking at a suicide, is a fellow named Richard Talley, last name T-A-L-L as in Larry E-Y. He was an executive with American Title. That company was under investigation, and Richard Talley supposedly committed suicide by shooting himself 7 or 8 times in the torso and head with, get this, a nail gun, okay? Very disturbing indeed. More disturbing, I think, than the death itself is the uncritical attitude being shown here about the death of the late, unfortunate Richard Talley, again, last name T-A-L-L as in Larry E-Y. This is by Tyler Durden, T-Y-L-A-R, last name D as in dog, U-R-D as in dog, E-N as in Nancy. This is from the Zero Hedge .com blog of February 7th of 2014. Fourth financial services executive found dead, quote, from self-inflicted nail gun wounds, unquote. By the way, there's a slight error. It makes a reference to two deaths in London jumping. One of them actually, William Brokesmith was found hanging in his home, and then Gabriel McGee, rather, supposedly jumped from the secure roof of the 33-story J.P. Morgan headquarters building in London. So there's a slight error here. Again, Tyler Durden's post here from ZeroHedge.com. Fourth financial services executive found dead, quote, from self-inflicted nail gun wounds. This from February 7th of 2014. It reads in part, the ugly rash of financial services executive suicides appears to have spread once again. following the jumping deaths of two London bankers and a former Fed economist in the U.S., the Denver Post reports that Richard Talley, founder and CEO of American Title, T-I-T-L-E, was found dead in his home from self-inflicted wounds from a nail gun. Talley's company was under investigation from insurance regulators. And then the Post excerpts a Denver Post article. This article by Tyler Durden excerpts a Denver Post article also from February 7th of 2014. Under investigation, American Title CEO dead in grisly suicide. It's by David McGoya, M as in Mary, I, G as in George, O, Y, A. And the article here is quoted by Tyler Durden in his Post. Richard Talley, 57, and the company he founded in 2001 were under investigation by state insurance regulators at the time of his death late Tuesday, an agency spokesman confirmed Thursday. It was unclear how long the investigation had been ongoing or its primary focus. A coroner's spokeswoman Thursday said Talley was found in his garage by a family member who called authorities. They said Talley died from 7 or 8 self-inflicted wounds from a nail gun fired into his torso and head. Also unclear is whether Talley's suicide was related to the investigation by the Colorado Division of Insurance, which regulates title companies. And again, the cause of death, they said Talley died from 7 or 8 self-inflicted wounds from a nail gun fired into his torso and head. And the Denver Post article gives some more information about the curriculum vitae, or perhaps the curriculum mortis, perhaps under the circumstances. Before coming to Colorado, Talley was a former regional financial officer at Drexel Burnham Lambert in Chicago, where he met his wife, Cheryl, a vice president at the company. And he also worked for a number of other financial firms as well. And again, one of the things that is most disturbing, I find myself chuckling involuntarily at some of this, and it reminds me of a couple things. First of all, one of my favorite quotes from the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, who observed once that a joke is the epigram on the death of a feeling, unquote. I also am reminded of one of the most profound political insights I have ever seen. This comes from political comedian Mort Saul, one of my role models. In his autobiography, Heartland, he observed that, quote, "How many lies can you allow yourself to believe before you belong to the lie?" And I think in terms of our media and presumably also our legal and medical investigative authorities, signing off on a death like this as a suicide, I mean, good grief, Charlie Brown. You know, somebody shoots them, somebody is under investigation and they take their own life by shooting themselves 7 or 8 times in the torso and head with a nail gun. Lord love a duck. I don't think so. And it really, it's sad and in some ways brutally funny, but it also is very scary. These were people of means, all of these deaths. And again, it brings to mind the famous poem by John Donne in which he noted, quote, "Therefore send not for to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." And it may have told for Mike Duker, it told for Gabriel McGee, it told for William Brokesmith, and it told for Richard Talley. It appears to have told for Mr. Bird, the Wall Street Journal reporter who vanished. If things continue, if we continue to belong to the lie, it may be tolling for you too one of these days. Now, in side one, we took a look, first of all, at the alleged suicide of William Brokesmith, who was found dead in his home. He was, until his 2013 retirement, an executive with Deutsche Bank, which is, along with J.P. Morgan Chase, the employer of Gabriel McGee, under investigation for illegal manipulation of the foreign exchange markets. And we noted that Jürgen Fitschen and Anshu Jain, the two co-CEOs of Deutsche Bank, had they were basically trying to stitch things together, and they had been both served under the reign of Josef Ackermann, A-C-K-E-R-M-A-N-N, the former CEO of Deutsche Bank. Josef Ackermann went to work for the Zurich Insurance Group, and let's just say some interesting things have happened there as well. The following is from the Telegraph, the British paper, of August 29th of 2013, roughly 4 months before this rash of, quote, suicides that we have been looking at in this program. This is an article by Alistair Osborne, capital O-S-B-O-R-N-E, and Alistair Osborne has titled his story, Zurich Chairman Josef Ackermann Quits Over Suicide Claims, and it reads in part as follows. Josef, again, J-O-S-E-F as in Frank, Ackermann, A-C-K-E-R-M-A-M-M, the former chief executive of Deutsche Bank, said he was resigning because he did not want to, quote, damage, unquote, the reputation of the Swiss insurer already reeling from the death of Pierre Vautier, that's capital W-A-U-T-H-I-E-R. Mr. Vautier, 53, who was married with two children, was found dead at his home in the lakefront suburb of Zug, capital Z-U-G as in George, outside of Zurich. On Tuesday, police said he appeared to have taken his own life. In a brief statement, Mr. Ackermann, 65, said, quote, the unexpected death of Pierre Vautier has deeply shocked me. I have reasons to believe that the family is of the opinion that I should take my share of responsibility, as unfounded as any allegations might be, unquote. His enigmatic remarks, which the insurer declined to clarify, sent shockwaves through the financial community as reports suggested that Mr. Ackermann's attempt to, quote, shake up, unquote, the insurer had put Mr. Vautier under insufferable pressure. Vautier's widow, Fabienne Vautier, was also said to have accused Zurich's management of driving her husband, quote, into a corner, unquote, and that Mr. Ackermann's, again quoting, tough management style, unquote, had been a key factor in her husband's death, according to a Swiss news website. One former colleague of Mr. Vautier was quoted saying, quote, Pierre was under a lot of pressure because there was a lot more pressure from above on the share price. This was an open secret. Vautier had effectively reached his career ambitions. Chief financial officer was his dream, unquote. And so again, because of, quote, undue pressure, unquote, allegedly placed on to the late Pierre Vautier, again, last name W-A-U-T-H-I-E-R, as in Roger, he allegedly took his life as well. I want to interject at this point that I do not have a definitive explanation for exactly who might be behind these deaths, whether there are organized crime syndicates, say mafia, say Chinese triads or Russian mafia or whoever, or Latin drug cartels, or whether perhaps the remarkable and deadly, and I mean deadly, Borman Capital Network, about which I speak so often. The financial element of a Third Reich gone underground might be involved. I don't know. The Borman Network is deeply connected to the Deutsche Bank and is also involved in a very big way with Argentina. And some strange things have been happening in Argentina as well. Even as Deutsche Bank and J.P. Morgan Chase and other companies, J.P. Morgan Chase and Deutsche Bank were both being investigated in connection with manipulating foreign exchange markets. And the shaken Argentine financial system has been the focal point of capital flight and the emerging market crises or crisis that has been getting a fair amount of ink in the business pages has enfolded Argentina in a very big way. And just as the Argentine government was making a pronouncement about the foreign exchange holdings of Argentine banks, there was a very suspicious and lethal fire at a supposedly secure records storage facility in Argentina. This also is by the aforementioned Tyler Durden, T-Y-L-E-R, last name D as in dog, U-R-D-E-N as in Nancy. This also from the ZeroHedge.com blog of February 5th of 2014. Argentine banking system archives destroyed by deadly fire, unquote. Again, 2014, in exactly the same time period, and it reads in part as follows. While we are sure that it is a very sad coincidence, by the way, Mr. Durden is being sarcastic here, while we are sure it is a very sad coincidence, on the same day that Argentina decrees limits on the FX positions, foreign exchange positions banks can hold, and the Argentine central bank's reserves accounting is questioned publicly, a massive fire killing 9 people has destroyed a warehouse archiving banking system documents. As the Washington Post reports, the fire at the Iron Mountain warehouse, which purportedly had multiple protections against fire, including advanced systems that can detect and quench flames without damaging important documents, took hours to control, and the sprawling building appeared to be ruined. The cause of the fire wasn't immediately clear, though we suggest smelling Argentine President Cristina Fernandez's hands. We noted yesterday that there are major questions over Argentina's reserve honesty. While first print is preliminary and subject to revision, the size of recent discrepancies have no precedent. This suggests that the government may be attempting to manage expectations by temporarily fudging the estimate, unquote, of reserve numbers in the first printing, while not compromising actual, unquote, final reported numbers. If this is so, it is a dangerous game to play and one that is likely to backfire. I don't think they intended that pun there. Continuing. During a balance of payments crisis, as Argentina is undergoing, such manipulation of official statistics and one so critical for market sentiment is detrimental to the needed confidence building around the transition in the foreign exchange regime. And today, the government decrees limits on foreign exchange holdings for the banks. Argentina's central bank published resolution late yesterday on websites limiting foreign exchange or FX positions for banks to 30% of net assets. Banks will have to limit FX futures contracts to 10% of assets, and that is the resolution. Banks must comply with resolution by April 30th, and then this happens. As the Washington Post reported, 9 first responders were killed and 7 others injured, and 2 were missing as they battled a fire of unknown origin that destroyed an archive of bank documents in Argentina's capital on Wednesday. The fire at the Iron Mountain warehouse took hours to control. The destroyed archives included documents stored for Argentina's banking industry, said Buenos Aires Security Minister Guillermo Montenegro. That's first name G-U-I-L-L as in Larry, E-R-M-O. Last name M as in Mary, O-N as in Nancy, T-E-N-E-G-R-O. Again, Guillermo Montenegro. Continuing with the story, the cause of the fire wasn't immediately clear. Boston-based Iron Mountain manages, stores, and protects information for more than 156,000 companies and organizations in 36 different countries. Its Argentina subsidiary advertises that its facilities have multiple protections against fire, including advanced systems that can detect and quench flames without damaging important documents. Quote, there are cameras in the area, and these videos will be added to the judicial investigation to clear up the motive of the fire and collapse, Montenegro told the Diarios y Noticias agency. And so again, note that in this very same time frame, even as the Argentine government, which has been under fire, no pun intended, for its records keeping or its official accountability or accounting of foreign exchange holdings by Argentine banks, and then this very suspicious fire occurs in a building that supposedly, I guess you could say, was something of a pyrotechnic Titanic. It was unburnable, just like the Titanic was unsinkable, and yet, lo and behold, it did indeed burn. And 9 people lost their lives in connection with this. So, again, more mortality. Yet another investigation into the foreign exchange manipulation is taking place in New York State. The following is from the New York Times of February 5th of 2014. This is an article by Chad C., as in Charlie, H-A-D, last name Bray, capital B as in boy, R-A-Y. It's titled, New York's Top Financial Regulator Investigates Currency Trading, unquote. It reads in part, the business of trading currencies is in a state of flux as top executives leave and traders are suspended or fired in the face of investigations into potential manipulation of the $5 trillion a day foreign exchange market. Again, $5 trillion a day. I love the phrasing here, unintentional irony and pun. It's in a state of flux. Yeah, it's in a state of flux, all right. As top executives and traders are suspended or fired. I guess a bunch of people got fired, literally, in Argentina. And some of the traders have indeed been suspended. William Brokesmith was found hanging in his home in London. Gabriel McGee may have been suspended from the roof of a 33-story building. And, again, the turmoil is something of an understatement. Continuing with the story, the latest regulator to start an inquiry into whether more than a dozen banks manipulated the price of foreign currencies is New York State's top financial regulator, Benjamin M. Losky, capital L as in Larry, A-W, S as in Sam, K-Y as in yellow. So yet another investigation is taking place. It is interesting to contemplate that all of this obvious chicanery and lethal chicanery that has been taking place in the above-board economy has produced such a very disturbing body count. The deaths, again, William Brokesmith, former newly retired executive, with Deutsche Bank found hanged in London. Gabriel McGee, who was an IT executive with J.P. Morgan, allegedly jumped from the roof of a 33-story building. His family is suspicious. His mother and father are traveling to London to investigate that. Mike Dukert, former Fed Reserve executive and also an executive with Russell Investments, which had been subpoenaed to testify in connection with an investigation, supposedly kills himself by jumping over a 4-foot fence and then down a 40 to 50-foot highway embankment. A Wall Street Journal reporter, Mr. Bird, has vanished under strange circumstances. And then Pierre Vautier supposedly took his own life working for Zurich Insurance Group under Josef Ackermann, who went through his position as head of Zurich Insurance Group from his position as CEO at Deutsche Bank. And then Richard Talley, T-A-L-L-E-Y, supposedly kills himself by shooting himself in the head and torso 7 or 8 times with a nail gun. And the supposedly unburnable Iron Mountain warehouse facility in Argentina burns at the same time as Argentina is accused of manipulating statistics about the foreign exchange holdings of its banks. Very suspicious indeed. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens to the Bitcoin market, too, from Time Magazine's Business and Money section. Article by Maya Rodan, R-H-O-D-A-N, February 7th of 2014. Bitcoin value nosedives as exchange stops withdrawals. Mt. Gox paused withdrawals to deal with technical issues. The value of the digital currency Bitcoin fell dramatically on Friday after one of the world's largest Bitcoin exchanges halted withdrawals to deal with technical issues. It's going to be interesting if the above-ground economy is subject to the body counts that we have been seeing. Bitcoin and other digital currencies are seen as the panacea to all of this, and yet they're already subject to all of the same ills, including concentration of ownership, tape painting, pump and dump schemes, and everything else, as well as a lot of things that the above market, above ground financial markets are not, such as entire venues or exchanges just vanishing. It will be just wait till the Bitcoiners start putting up contracts on each other and whacking each other so that they can steal each other's Bitcoin wallets. They may need a whole new form of digital currency to put out contracts on each other. They can call that Hitcoin with an H. Anyway, we will see. All of my life's work is available for download for free on the SpitfireList.com website, as well as a small library of old anti-fascist books that are available for download for free on very easy-to-use PDF files. There is a wealth of other information as well, including some by other contributors, on the SpitfireList.com website, plus a flash drive that is available. There's a link on the SpitfireList.com website at which you can order it. You can also order it by pledging to many of the same stations that carry this program. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 772, Body Count Part 2, subtitled Collateralized Death Obligations. This has been recorded on February 9th of 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.